I've entitled this message, Is Anything Too Hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, the Lord Jesus had appeared to Abraham along with two angels, and after they had ate the meal that Sarah had prepared them, we read beginning verse 9, and they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? Now, the Lord knew where she was. This is going to make Sarah listen real carefully to what's getting ready to take place. She was in the tent, and now when she heard this, she was listening intently. And he said, Behold in the tent. And he said, This is the Lord, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life in about a year. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. Now remember, Sarah is 90 years old. Abraham is 99 years old. Now we think, I guess that could take place in biblical times, but it seems kind of doubtful that something like that would happen today. And I do not remember ever hearing in my lifetime of a 90-year-old woman becoming with child. And I've not heard of a 99-year-old man fathering a child. Maybe it's happened, but I'm not aware of it. So I'm sure that this was rare then. Verse 11, Sarah heard it, verse 10, Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. It was physically impossible for her to have a child. It would take a miracle. It ceased for her to have a child after the manner of women. Verse 12, therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. I think it's interesting that's pointed out. She didn't laugh out loud. She wasn't going to laugh at what the Lord said. She laughed within herself. After I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? She didn't believe. She didn't believe. It seemed incredulous to her. How could this be? I'm 90 years old. My husband's 99. And the Lord said unto Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh? Saying, Shall I of a surety bear of a child which am old? Why'd she say that? Why did she laugh? And then he asked this question, verse 14, Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything beyond His ability and beyond His power? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah, I guess from the other room in the tent, she denied saying, I laugh not. She's lying to the Lord. For she was afraid. I understand why she was afraid. Wouldn't you be afraid? And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. Now, if you read the New Testament account, Sarah's unbelief is not recorded. Did you know that? It's not even recorded. Listen to this scripture from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Does that even sound like the same account that we just read of in Genesis 18? Which one's true? Both. Both. You see, Genesis 18 is the old man account. Hebrews chapter 11 is the new man account. They're both true, but you'll find this throughout the scriptures. The record of what happened in the Old Testament and the record of what happened in the New Testament seems to be two different records, but they're not. They're the same. But one is the record of the old man, and the other is the record of the new man. And I can give so many examples of that. Look at Lot, just Lot, that righteous man, his righteous soul. You wouldn't pick that out from the Old Testament record of him. By faith, Abraham feared not the wrath of the king. He was scared to death. He murdered somebody, hid the body in the sand, and fled. Yet look at Hebrews 11's account of Moses. They seem like two different stories, but they're not in here. Sarah laughs in unbelief. And when God gives the record in the New Testament, by faith, Sarah receives strength to conceive a son. Now back to verse 14, this question, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's the question the Lord presents to Sarah's unbelief. How can I have a child? She even laughed. I'm 90 years old. He's 99. I've ceased being able to bear children. How can I have a child? And the Lord's reply, is anything too hard for the Lord? You see, He is omnipotent. He is all powerful. There are no limitations to His power. Whatever He wills must come to pass because He has the power to cause it to come to pass. If He wills for Sarah to have a son, Sarah's going to have a son. How come? Because whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. He doeth according to His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? He said, I purposed it, I will also do it. Now, in order to be sovereign, which He is, He must be omnipotent. He must be all-powerful, because sovereignty is meaningless if you don't have the power to make whatever it is you will come to pass. You see, here are two things that are absolutely go together, and you can't have one without the other. If you're sovereign, you know, there's only one sovereign God. People talk about sovereign nations. There's no such thing as a sovereign nation. God is sovereign. Only He's all powerful. He makes His will come to pass. Song of heaven is hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Lynn told me, Charlie Walmsley, wake up, I want you to hear this. I don't know that you were asleep, but I just want you to hear this. Lynn told me that Charlie asked Cammie, is God so powerful that He can become evil if He wants to? Is God so powerful that He can become evil? Do you know that's a good question? Maybe you thought that in some form. Well, here's the answer. God is so all-powerful that He cannot be evil. That's the answer to that question. It's a good question. It's a very good question. God is so powerful, so omnipotent, so all-powerful that He cannot be evil, because He cannot be contrary to His nature. He cannot do it. Now, you How many times have you seen people get a little power and get a little authority and they turn into monsters? You've seen that so often. Power corrupts. And it's true. I've seen it. Anybody, the more power somebody has, the more they'll mistreat people. I mean, it's just human nature. Power corrupts, but you can't corrupt omnipotence. You cannot corrupt omnipotence. God cannot be contrary to who He is. He cannot be. He cannot not be. I am that I am. And that's just the truth. He cannot not be. I am that I am. For instance, the scripture says He can't lie. It's against His nature. How natural is it for you to lie? Look at old Sarah right in front of the Lord's presence when she thinks she's in trouble. I didn't do it. Comes easy. You have to teach your kids to lie. Comes natural, doesn't it? As soon as they're in a position where they think that they can deliver themselves, it's natural for them to lie. Now, kids, that doesn't mean it's okay to lie. You say, well, it's my nature to lie, therefore I'm going to lie. Now, that doesn't make it okay. Understand this. Your responsibility is to be without sin. That's everybody's responsibility. God's sovereignty, He's completely sovereign over all of our actions. There's no doubt about that. But that does not take away our responsibility. Don't say, well, because I can't not lie, therefore I'll lie. No, you're called upon to be truthful. But it's the natural man's nature, sinful, fallen nature, to lie. I was watching a movie last week, and the actor in the movie said, I never lie. I thought, what a lie. I mean, you never lie? Really? I'd like to say, if somebody really said that, if I ever hear somebody say that again, I've heard people say it, I just want to say, really? Really? Are you being truthful? You're lying when you say that. That's the biggest lie I've ever heard. But God cannot lie. It's contrary to His holy nature because holiness cannot sin. Now, there's some things God cannot do. God cannot change. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Now, if He could change, you know what that would mean? That would mean He would either improve or He'd go downhill, one of the two. But that can't be. I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God can't change His mind. I love that. God cannot change His mind. The Lord's not a man that He should repent. He cannot not be who He is. He cannot not be any of His glorious attributes. However He is, that's how He is. He's always holy. He's always just. He's always pure. He's always sovereign. He's always omnipotent. He's always omniscient. He's always omnipresent. God cannot lie. God cannot be anything but that which He is. Look what Abraham says down in verse 25 of this same chapter. We're going to consider this next week. But he says, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right. He must do right because of who He is. Because there's nothing too hard for the Lord, there are some things that are impossible. He can't sin. He cannot not be holy. He cannot save at the expense of His justice. He cannot save at the expense of any of His attributes. If any of His attributes have to be changed or compromised in order for Him to save, it's not going to happen. God is who He is. I am that I am. Now, God purposed His Son. This is something that I don't understand, nor does anybody else, but I'm amazed by it. God purposed, before time began, for His Son to be slain. He's called the Lamb slain from the very foundation of the world. God purposed for his son to be slain. Now, when the Lord was praying in Gethsemane's garden, and he said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He knew he was getting ready to drink the sins of God's elect. And he was going to take them into his own body. And he was going to be forsaken by God. And who understands that? If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now here's my question. Was it possible? No. Because it's God's purpose, and God's purpose cannot be frustrated. His will must always be done. It's the eternal purpose he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, because of who he is, nothing's too hard for him. Is it possible for Christ to fail? The scripture says he shall not fail, nor be discouraged. He had to drink that cup for salvation to take place. So no, it was not possible. Now, when Peter spake of the resurrection, he'd been preaching that glorious message on the day of Pentecost, and he said it was not possible that death could hold him. It wasn't possible. It wasn't within the range of possibility. Why? Because who he is. It's Christ that died. It wasn't a man like me or you. It's the God-man. It was not possible that death could hold him. It was not possible because justice demanded his resurrection. Every attribute of God demanded his resurrection. It's not possible for any of the elect to be deceived. Now remember, when we're talking about is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, because of who he is, there are some things that aren't going to happen. Is it possible for any of the elect to be deceived and to miss salvation? Well, didn't the Lord say if it were possible, they'd deceive the very elect? But it is not possible. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. I love this passage of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Now let's look at the language. This passage of Scripture used to scare me to death. I used to think, does this mean that you could come that close and still be lost? Does this mean that you could actually have been enlightened by God, and you've tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and you've tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come? You mean you can come that close and still fall away? No, he says it's impossible for that to happen. And here is why it is impossible. For someone to be saved that fell away like that, Christ would have to be crucified all over again. And that is not going to happen. He's the Lamb once slain. Now, once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. No, it is not possible. There are some things that are not possible. Now, because of the character of God, it's impossible for man to save himself. Now, because of his character, His holiness, His unapproachableness, His utter, His Godhead. It's impossible for a man to save himself. You remember when the disciples said after the rich young ruler was left, and he said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. And that's not talking about, I've read commentators where they say in the walls of Jerusalem there were these real low walls, and the camel would have to get real low openings, and the camel would have to get down real low to get. No. He's saying, how much possibility is there for a camel to get through a needle's eye? Absolutely nothing. And they said, if he can't be saved, who then can be saved? And the Lord said, with men, it's impossible. With men, salvation is impossible. Because of the character of God, it's impossible for a man to save himself. In Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23, we read, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? No, they can't. How then can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil? A man cannot rise above his nature. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. We read in Romans 8, verses 7 and 8, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now with men, salvation is impossible. Now, I'm glad the Lord didn't leave it there though, did He? He didn't stop and just end the conversation. With men it's impossible and leave. He said, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Now remember, before we get into this, we've been trying to see how God can't act contrary to who He is. He can't act contrary to His nature. Why should He? His nature is perfect. His nature is holy. He can't be what He's not. He is the great I am that I am. But He is able to save to the uttermost. Yes, with men it's impossible, but not with God. For He is able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by Him. That's what Abraham believed. Scripture says he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, He was able also to perform. That's what Paul believed. He said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. It's a belief in God's ability. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now the works, the wonders, the mighty acts of power of the Lord are seen in these three areas: creation, providence, and salvation. And it's very important for us to understand all three of these things. We don't understand anything about the power of the Lord. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, the first aspect of His power is seen in creation when He created the universe as an act of His will. He had nothing to work with. I think it's interesting when people talk about creative people. Well, I guess I know what folks mean, but they got stuff that God gave them they can work with. Nobody is creative like the Lord. He created something from nothing. He spake the universe into existence. Oh, the creative power of the Lord. Don't you love to think of Him just willing this universe into existence with nothing to work with? He just did it. Now, nothing's too hard for the Lord. And in providence, nothing's too hard for the Lord. In this sense, He controls everything. He is completely sovereign over the free and uncoerced actions of men. Now, I want you to understand this. I've already touched on this. If I sin, I can't say, well, God moved me to do it. God's sovereign. I wouldn't have done it had He not
purposed it, but he purposed it. That's why I did it. That's evil. That's evil. If you sin, it's your fault. Anything you do, or any sin I commit, I got nobody to blame but myself. I can't blame God's sovereignty, and to try to take comfort in God's sovereignty over my sin in the sense of saying, well, he purposed it, that's why I did it. You've missed it altogether. That's just not so. It's wicked to think that way. That being said, who's in control of the evil actions of men? God is. God's in absolute control of everything and everybody. Now, it doesn't get us off the hook in the sense that we're responsible for our own sin, but God is in absolute control of everything. Now, that's logical. If he's all-powerful, obviously he's in control of everything, but I have to have a better reason than logic to believe something like that, because like I said this morning, somebody said, well, God causes that which is good and permits that which is evil. I reckon I understand somebody saying that, but it's wrong. It's not the right way to say that. God is in control of everything. What about this scripture? He shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Who sent them the strong delusion? He did. Well, that almost sounds like God's doing something wrong. Don't ever think of whatever God does is right. It's holy because he did it. It's righteous because he did it. He's got no law over his head. He doesn't answer to anybody. Whatever he does is right. I'm so thankful it's that way. Let me show you a passage of scripture in 1 Kings chapter 22. Now, this is after Micaiah had prophesied bad against Ahab, and Ahab was angry about it. And the king, verse 18, 1 Kings 22, verse 18, and the king of Israel said in Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? I told you he'd do that. And he said, Micaiah said, the prophet whom Ahab hated, and he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner, and there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I'll persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I'll go forth and I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also, go forth and so do. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil concerning thee. Now that gives us some idea of the sovereign control of the Lord over everything. This is always going on. And he shows his power in this. He shows his power in creation. He created the universe. He spake it into existence simply by an act of his will. And he demonstrates his power in providence where he controls everything. Not a sparrow falls to the ground without your heavenly Father. And he's in control of it. It's working his purposes. Whatever God does is holy. Whatever God does is right. Whatever God is just. I'm not trying to apologize. Whatever God does is right. We don't need to protect him, or he doesn't need our help. Whatever he does is right. But most especially, we see his power in this great work of salvation. God is not willing that any should perish with regard to his people, but that all should come to repentance. You know what? Therefore, none of them will perish, and all of them, without exception, will come to repentance. You see, God's able to do that. God is able to be just, impartially just, absolutely just, and yet declare me, who am in myself nothing but a sinner, and he has the power to declare me to be just, and I am just because of what Christ did for me. Now that is almighty power. For he hath made him to be sin. God can do that. He can take my sin and make it so it belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. For he hath made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God can do that because nothing is too hard for the Lord. He's able to be just and justify the ungodly. He's able to make me just. Now, listen to this. He doesn't make me just as if I never sinned. I hate that term. What if, I said this recently, what if somebody murdered your child and the judge says, well, I'm going to treat you just as if you never sinned. He said that to the murderer. You'd say, that judge is an unjust judge. And that is, he doesn't make me just as if I never sinned. He makes it to where I never sinned. That I stand before God without guilt, perfect in his sight. God is able to give me a new nature, a nature that is holy, a nature that cannot sin. God can do that because nothing is too hard for the Lord. Now here's what I like thinking about. This goes along with it. God gives me a new history. Nobody else can do that. And I can't change my history. I can't change anything I've done. It's impossible for me to do that. I cannot do it. But God can. He can give me a new history. So you look at the pages of my history, and there's nothing but perfection, nothing but holiness, nothing but perfect conformity to the image of Christ. And that is the history of every single believer without exception. And here's why. Because nothing is too hard for the Lord. What a glorious Lord we have. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. He says, behold, I make all things new. Now, is your God able to give you a new history to where it's all good in a way that honors his justice and honors his holiness and honors his truthfulness and honors every one of his attributes? Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. You know why? He's the Lord. And nothing is too hard for him. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for who you are, and that nothing is too hard for you. Lord, you can save each person here, no matter how far gone we are, because nothing is too hard for you. And how we thank you for the salvation that's in your Son. How we thank you that nothing was too hard for him, that he was able to satisfy your justice and save us in a way that honors who you are. What a glorious Savior. How we thank you that nothing is too hard for thee. Bless us for Christ's sake. In his name we pray.